Now we come to the lesson, the message today, and you're going to have to listen to me now for a little while. Then we're going to bring something up here to show you, and I don't think it'll be anything that you could quite expect, but here we go. It might be for you something like going along to Granny's house, or maybe if you're a mother here today, going to your own mum's house, some place you really like to go and you can chill out and pass all the pressure on to somebody else, and it's a favourite place. Some of my grandchildren were down at W5 the other day, hadn't been at W5 for a long, long time. I didn't even know it still existed, but they had a great time there. But the Lord Jesus went to home in Bethany, and that was a place that he really loved to visit. It was a favorite place for him. In that home in Bethany, there were three people. There was a brother called Lazarus, there were two sisters, Mary and Martha, and it was only a short distance. If you're in Jerusalem or on the Mount of Olives, even better, and you want to go to Bethany, it's the distance of, if you were to go out the door here today, turn left, and make it to Forest Side, it's about exactly that distance from Jerusalem as going to Bethany. But as you see in the picture here, it doesn't look like you would find Forest Side if you got there, because it's the old Israel towns and Palestinian-style village. So this morning, we've come to a passage in the Word of God, the Bible, that talks about these three people, Lazarus, Martha, and their sister Mary. And where we read about it in the Bible is in Luke chapter 10 and the verse 38 through 42. And again, we'll bring up the words of that passage on screen now. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, she's one of three, so they're thinking, maybe, was she married, now widowed, she owned the house, and maybe her brother and sister had moved in along with her. We don't know, the Bible doesn't give the detail on that. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. 40, but Martha was cumbered. Has anybody heard that word, cumbered, on their travels? I don't think it's a word that I've heard for quite some time. Apart from reading it here in the Bible, she was cumbered, means she was under pressure about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Some of the things that we learn out of the passage, number one is this: Martha did a good thing. What did she do that day? She welcomed Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men, into her home. He had come to Bethany. Martha just threw open her doors, come and welcome into my home, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can be sure about one thing. Wherever Jesus went, he was so popular, he drew a crowd. And so she knew, in opening her door to Christ that day, many, many people would be coming into her house. But she demonstrated that I am going to do everything I can to honor and to serve you. Now, Martha was not lazy. Martha was not sloppy. She saw a need and she worked away to meet that particular need, and she was going all out to make our Lord's visit to her home very pleasant indeed. Now, if some important visitor came to your house, maybe you'd be saying, well, what am I going to do here? And you'd be thinking, well, I can nip down to Lidl and get some Baps and all the rest of it, or I can phone up Chip and Fish, isn't that just down the road? And they can maybe help me out on this one. Or maybe phone up Domino's and get some delivery guy in his motorbike to come around with a pizza or two or three, and that'll sort it all out. Now, in that little village in Bethany, there was no way that Martha could do that. She had to bake her own bread. She had to do everything settled on the table. I have no doubt her sister Mary helped her up to a point. But when Jesus came, Mary decided, well, it's time to listen to what Jesus is saying, and I want to hear his word. But Martha is working incredibly hard, and she did a good thing. But you know what? In doing a good thing, Martha actually missed the best thing. She was, the word was cumbered, she was distracted, she was caught up. We might say she was in a bit of a tizzy, or she was tied up in knots, and she was under pressure. Now, my mother, who came from Belfast, actually born in Shankill Road on 12th of July, quite a number of years ago, I'll not give away her age, but she used to say a wee expression, and I haven't heard it said by just about anybody else. And when she was under pressure, and things were piling up, and she's sighing, and, oh dear, something else can't cope with all of this, she would have said, "Squeeze me any harder and the pips will come out." Anybody ever heard that? I haven't heard it for a long, long time, but I'm assuming it's one of those expressions from the road up there. "Squeeze me any harder and the pips will come out." Well, that's how Martha felt on this particular occasion. "I can't be doing with all of this work. I need somebody to help me." And what she did was she just burst in her frustration to where Jesus was, and she said, "Jesus, have you missed what's going on here? I have been left alone. I'm not getting any help. Jesus, tell my sister Mary to get up there, come out and help me in the kitchen." So she's really under pressure. And you know what? Doesn't that happen to us as well? Maybe mothers in particular, you'll just get it building up and going up a notch and then up another gear. And you're thinking, it can't get any worse than this. They can't expect any more from me. And they come in and they do expect more from you. And you're, well, what happens sometimes when the stress of life really presses you down, it gets the better of you and you strike out against somebody that's around you. Don't mean to do it, but it's the pressure that is really built up upon you. So Martha is mad at Mary, and she even seems to be angry at Jesus as well. And she had no time to enjoy her special guest. What? Who was in her house that day? The Savior of the world. And he was speaking about the most important thing, salvation through him. And Martha missed it all out. So the first thing, she did a good thing, but she missed the best thing. And then regarding Mary, the other sister, Mary chose the better thing. Our Lord teaches Martha a lesson or two in the middle of all of her frustration, and he did it with compassion. He said, "Martha, you're hearing his word, you're careful and you're troubled about many things, but Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." So Martha, really, call off all of the preparation. We don't need an absolute feast here. It'll be enough just to have some little bite to eat. We don't need all of this effort. And he said, "Martha, you're missing the thing that's most important. Wrapped up in all the details of serving and all the rest, you're missing the real reason why I'm here, and that's to give you instruction, to point you the way, give you direction, how you might live eternally. Come, sit down, like Mary, and listen to me. Have food for your soul." Now, you will have seen pictures, videos, and whatnot on the news over the past number of weeks of people running away out of Ukraine, trying to get into the Poland or Hungary or Romania or some neighboring country. And you know what I noticed? They're hardly bringing anything with them. Do you know why? Because when you get in a life and a death situation, you're trying to preserve yourself. And all of a sudden, those material things that you've been spending a lot of money on, wanting for a long time, they don't mean so much anymore because you're deciding my life is more important. And Jesus was teaching that lesson. There's something more important than things, something even more important than the body, and it's the soul that is inside of all of us. And our Lord in Matthew 6 and 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you." In other words, look at the big things, run after the important things, and deal with them first. Sometimes even good things can get in the way of the very best things. Now, what I'm going to do is here, because it is so easy to live a Martha kind of life, and life I know is so busy and becoming busier, and those good things do get in the way of the best things, I said I was going to show you something, and to begin with, we've got a glass jar. So it's time for a little illustration, a wee picture. I brought some things with me today. And they're not the most exciting, but I'll tell you what, if they fall over there, nobody's sitting there, that's good, because if somebody was sitting there and I dropped one of these, instead of getting it into the jar, you would have a right bump on your head, to say the very least about it. And I'm going to see how many of these stones, got them out of a builder's yard. I did phone the builder, asked him last night, could I go around to where he's building and grab a few of these stones and whatnot, you know, asking for stones, but yeah, I did. Okay, do you reckon I'm going to get too many more in there? What do you think? I'm trying to fill it up as much as I can. I reckon that is just about as far as I am going to fill that, but I'll tell you what. If I had smaller stones, I reckon I could do more with that, but what about some quality street? Would anybody like some quality street here today? I'm sure you would. The only problem is, what's in the box? And I can't really tip it out, but it's not quality street. You'd not get scoops of quality street like this anymore. So what have I got here? Can anybody see that? I reckon I can... sorry, caretaker, for giving you a bit of a job here, but it will get messy here. If I have smaller stones, you see, that's the thing. If I get smaller stones, I can attempt to fill this. It's beginning to fill up quite well, isn't it? So here we go. Get a few more. Right, just keep ladling. If you're in a sweet shop and you were getting this amount of sweets, you would be fairly spending the money on Quality Street, that's for sure. And we have still got more in here, so keep filling. There we go. Does that look about full? Naomi, what do you think? Looks pretty full to me. Right, okay. Right, I want to test a wee thing here and see if by shaking this around... I think more can go in, and so fully expecting that more would go in, I brought this. And it's not coffee, but it is sand. Oh, what a mess. Nobody saw that, did they? Right, okay. What are you laughing at down there? You might have the job of tidying it up after me. Right, all right, here we go. So, that, I reckon, is as full as I can get it without, you know, spending about 20 minutes shaking there and you thinking, this is boring, what are you doing? Shaking away this jar, trying to get more in, but it's pretty full. And... you can hardly see the big stones, can you? They're kind of, they've all disappeared. Well, what is the point that I'm making here by showing this and putting in big stones, then smaller ones, gravel, and then putting in a bit of sand as well just to fill it up to the point? Am I saying, you know what, in your life you could have gaps and you could have a little bit of time here and a wee bit of time there? You know, fill up the gaps. Do some more work. Get involved in other activities. Do this, do that. Fill up all the space that you have in your life. You can always fit more in. No, that's not the lesson at all. That is by no means the point. Many times you think that's what life is about. Just do more. But no, that's not the lesson today. The lesson is this. If I hadn't put in the big rocks at the beginning, do you think I would be able to put in the big rocks now? You're absolutely right, it wouldn't. The big rocks wouldn't go in anymore because they had to go in right at the start, and then all the smaller stuff could fill in all around the big ones. And so if I hadn't put them in at the beginning, I would not have a chance of getting them in now. When we plan our day, plan our weeks, plan our months, plan our lives, do you know what the point is? We must put in first the big things, the important things. You know what? In life, the big rocks should and must go in first. And what I'm talking about big rocks today is number one big rock, and that is the Bible itself, God's holy word. Would you believe it? In the Bible itself, it describes itself as being a rock. There was a prime minister of England. In fact, he was prime minister four times over, so he must have been popular. They kept voting him in again. Not Boris Johnson, but William Gladstone, prime minister on four occasions. And he loved books, and he wrote a lot of books. And the most interesting book he ever wrote was, can anybody say that, people are getting it. Go ahead. It is the Bible, and it's how, you're right, absolutely. He described it as, in this book, the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. In other words, one of these rocks, well, I would imagine with a hammer you could break this, but he was saying it is such a large rock, it's impregnable. You can't break it into pieces at all. The impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. You see, in his day, people were laughing at the Bible, poking fun at the Bible. You'll hear people say it today. Oh, the Bible's full of contradictions. You can't trust the Bible. You can't believe the Bible. But you can. And you know what? The people who say it's full of contradictions, by and large, have only read a tiny little part of it and are parroting somebody else's language and line. They haven't read it. They haven't discovered this for themselves. There's a poem, and the poem says, the Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. Can anybody see in the picture there a person? And where is the person? Underneath the huge rock. And that huge rock is picturing the Bible in my mind. It is so large, and man can pick